All right, guys, welcome back to our Road to Nationals. We are talking today with Matthew Schmidt out of Texas. What's up, brother? I know you had a long day, and I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down and talk with us, man.
Every day is a long day, so I'm used to staying busy. I like staying busy. It's no problem.
Right on, man. So now I was talking to Nate Spear. He runs a group called Bodybuilding by Bodybuilders. He said, I don't really know much about Matt, but he's like, he's a guy that you might want to talk to. He looks really good. And I looked at your pictures, man. You're looking incredible. What weight class are you in?
Well, I better end up in the heavies.
Okay.
The show I did a few weeks ago, I weighed in at 224. And, you know, the cutoff's about 225 and a quarter, I think. And hopefully I'm a little even tighter than last time. So I should be right at the top of the heavies.
Right on. And how long have you been dieting for this round?
It's going to be a total of 20 weeks.
Okay. So is this a longer one for you?
It is. Just because of the show that I had to qualify with, which was 6 weeks from Nationals.
Okay.
And I can get ready a lot sooner, but I like to give myself more time, just, you know, just a little a leeway in case, you know, something happens or just to account for the unaccountable. So,
you know, a guy who says that is a guy that's done this before. I can tell then, just hearing you say that, this obviously isn't your first rodeo. How long have you been competing for?
My first show, I was 21 in college, and I'm 34. This will be my 10th show.
Right on. So 10 shows, you haven't competed. Like, it sounds like you must not have done a lot of back-to-back-to-back type stuff. Do you do like, what, one or two a year then if you compete?
The most I've done in a year is two.
Okay.
I do my diets. Two times I had my sponsor do my diet for me, and I learned a lot from him.
Okay.
But like, I'm doing this diet on my own. I did my last diet on my own, and I prefer that. I hate relying on somebody else for anything. And, you know, with work and as busy as I am, it's just easier for me to kind of manage, because I know my body, and over the years I like learning about my body. So that's one of the benefits of doing your own diet.
Absolutely.
And it's a pride thing too. You know, I'll hear a guy, people always ask, who does your diet? You know, it's an automatic assumption, like,
yeah,
who's your coach, who does your diet at this level? And it's I like to be able to say that, you know, me.
Right on. Yeah, that is cool, man. And it's something that all the guys used to do. You know, like, if you look like back in the day, everybody did their own diets. And now it's, you know, it's the opposite. I do think there is a benefit of having somebody who can be an outside set of eyes, especially when you get closer. Who's in your life that's that person to you?
I don't have that.
Oh, you don't have that guy or gal?
No, I don't.
No,
I don't
kidding.
I hardly take progress pictures, really. I have to dig around to even find things to compare to, you know, if I'm, because, you know, the closer you get, your mind starts playing games with you, and you're like, am I on track?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I have to dig around, and where was I at 4 weeks out for this show or that show? And sometimes I can't find anything. And it's just how it's always been, and that's just it's worked for me. So,
well, right on. You can't argue with that if it's working. And obviously, you've got a great physique, so you know you're doing something right with it. What have you found then? It sounds like, you know, a lot of this has to have, you know, just like if you had a coach is going to be trial and error until they figure out what works for you. What does work for you, say, nutritionally from that standpoint? Are you more of a carb guy, more of a fat guy?
A good balance of both. And for me, it's such a simple concept, what I do. It's like stupid simple, like, I think. So just throughout those 20 weeks, it's just the simple formula of slowly increasing cardio and slowly decreasing carbs. My protein stays pretty much the same. I eat like the same stuff in the off season as I do in season. It's just a lot less cardio and a lot more food. But I mean, I stay pretty lean in the off season, so it's a pretty easy transition. But that's really all it is manipulating the cardio and I take it literally day by day. And then I get to the point they're like right now, like meal by meal.
Huh.
And, kind of, it gets to the point the last couple weeks, few weeks. And I was talking about this with Matt Jansen, about differentiating between when you need to like refeed and when you're just like craving just, you know, the natural cravings that you need to be disciplined with and, you know, power through. And that's sometimes you have to kind of, assume most of the time that you just got to tough it out, you know, but then there's those times when like, if you're like lightheaded and especially with work, you know, if you can't afford to, I mean, if you put yourself in a unsafe situation where like you can barely function, like, you know, okay, sure. Just to function, I need to refeed.
Yeah.
And usually it works out, you know, the next day I feel a lot better and I'm tighter and I'm, so it's tough towards the end, no doubt. And it would be helpful to have an outside set of eyes, but like I said, it always works itself out in the end. I just, you know, I have a mentality that's just resilient and, it seems like whatever I kind of believe and then put out in the atmosphere, it happens. So,
right on. Right on. And like you said, so you're evaluating every day. And at this point, even meal to meal, what do you mean by that? Are you meaning like you get to this next meal three and you're like, huh, I'm feeling like I could reduce my rice here, something like that?
Exactly.
Wow.
Today, one of my meals was chicken and jasmine rice, and it was about 4 ounces of jasmine rice.
Yeah.
And I got through I intentionally ate the chicken first because I was feeling pretty good. And I felt like, man, if I can, if I don't have to eat all this rice, I'm not gonna. And something as simple as that, whether it's just a kind of like a mental hurdle, like, man, because I love carbs. And for me to be able to like, for it to be right there, heated up, ready to go, to forego it, it's kind of like a mental hurdle. And it just kind of pushes me through to the, you know, it's just those little, it's just small little victories throughout the day that ultimately get to where I need to be. And I usually get there, so.
Absolutely. That's cool. Yeah. That's something you couldn't do that with a coach, you know, and I can see what you're saying with your process. I've done that before. I haven't done that with every diet I've done, but I've done that before and honestly, I have to say when I've done that, I've gotten into really good shape. Do you ever have to worry about overdoing it? Cause I know that a lot of times guys aren't too easy on themselves. Guys are too hard and they'll say, no, I don't want a cheat meal. And they push and push to the point where Have you ever had a situation like that in the past where you realize, man, maybe I should have refed 2 weeks sooner type thing?
I've done both. I've gone too long where I should have had a refeed, and then there's been times when like I've messed up, but like in the middle of the night, I'm like half asleep, half awake, and I start with like a half of a rice cake, and then I end up toasting a sugar-free peanut butter and jelly, and but that's why I leave such a big window to account for potential days. Like, you know, I'm human.
Right on.
So,
right on.
But, yeah.
And that's interesting. Now, as far as your competitive history goes, you know, this is obviously, it's not the first time you've been at the national stage. Tell me what's the best that you've done so far?
This will be my fourth national level show. I've done nationals twice, USA's once, and I've always wanted to earn my pro card at nationals because it's the venue to me. It's just, I mean, unmatched, and I've been top five every time. I've hit my first one was in 2015 at nationals in Miami, and I got fourth place, which was incredible to me because that was my first time. You know, I was used to just competing at local shows and doing, you know, winning the overall and kind of expecting it. And I didn't know what to expect coming here. And then I get backstage and there was 30 guys in the heavyweight class.
That's a tough class.
And they all look, phenomenal. Yeah. And I'm like, how in the heck am I gonna stand out with, you know, everybody had their, you know, some had better chests, some had dominant legs. And I never really had, I mean, my back's probably been my most dominant, but overall, I think my symmetry is what usually triumphs.
Yeah.
But everybody looked amazing, and to get called out was so obviously. Since then, I kind of reevaluated where I was at, you know, I guess it kind of becomes an expectation. Well, you don't want to, you know, you want to do better every time. So,
sure.
Then the following year, I did USA's, and I got fifth. That was a tough class. That was when John Jewett won his pro card. He got first in the heavyweight.
Right on.
And he looked phenomenal. And then the following year, I did nationals again in Miami, and I got third.
Okay.
And the two guys looked great. I think it could have gone either way.
Yeah.
But you know, yeah. I don't dwell on it. That's one of my things. I hate posting pictures to because I'm not trying to recruit. Like, do you guys think I should have beat these? I hate when people say, and they, you can't judge by a freaking picture or yeah. two pictures. Oh man, you should have totally won the. Yeah, I hate that. Yeah. And that's not why I post the pictures. You know, I got what I deserved, and I just push harder next time. So anyway, yeah, I've hit fifth, fourth, and third place, and this will be my fourth nationals, and we'll see what happens. I'm most likely going to definitely be bringing my best package, but you know, you never know who's going to show up, what kind of condition they're going to be in.
Yeah.
But if I can do my best and look better than I've ever, you know, I can't control any more than that.
So. Absolutely. That's the best attitude you can have. And for any of the, you guys out there that are newer, that are, you know, haven't competed as much, you see these guys that come in, they're like, oh yeah, my goal is to win this thing. And they've never been on stage. It's like, I think the attitude you have, it's the only thing you could do, because there's just so much that's out of your control. And then you take it to the level you're at, you know, the top five at nationals or any national show. I mean, realistically, any given day, those placings could be shifted around just with another carb meal or a little more water, or a little less water. You know, those guys are all freaking just, they all could be pro on any given day, really, you know, at that level. What does your training look like? What kind of a guy are you? Are you more of a volume guy, or you do more the lower volume?
I have a history of powerlifting. I was riding that for a while. At one point I was fifth in the country in the 220s. But my passion was always with bodybuilding. I always cared, the strength came naturally, but I always cared more about what I looked like than how much I could lift, because I was around these other powerlifters that they didn't look as strong as they were. I didn't like training. Like always trained like a bodybuilder when I prepped for these powerlifting meets. I trained like a bodybuilder, and I train heavy to keep the size and the mass. But I do a lot of drop sets. I do a lot of volume, good amount of reps, and you know, you're always learning.
Yeah.
And that mind muscle connection, just, I think every year it gets better and better. Hmm. And that, as that gets better, obviously, you know, your results get better, and it's lots of little tweaks, in addition to, you know, pushing yourself further. But it's just the, you know, I was watching the interview you did with, Brent Swanson. And he was touching on it real good about these kids that they want to look like, you know, the pros in such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
And as Brent was saying, that it takes away from the whole process is what encompasses being a bodybuilder.
Hmm.
And, for me, it just wouldn't be the same. And I feel, you know, some of these guys with phenomenal genetics that turn pro at such a young age, that's amazing. That's terrific. But I don't think if I were to turn pro in 3 weeks after essentially training for a good half of my over 15 years, you know, essentially,
right.
And to have to reflect on everything that I've been through and learned and overcome over the last decade and a half, and to then accomplish something that I never even dreamed of, I can't even process the emotions that I would go through. So to me, the longer it takes, the more you appreciate it.
That's cool. I think that that's really awesome. That's like, that right there is just a love for the game, you know, is what that really comes down to. It's just a love for the sport. And it's like, you know, I've heard a lot of other guys say, that I've had the opportunity to interview that if bodybuilding, if the stage wasn't available, they'd still be doing the same thing. You know, this is just the final outcome. This isn't like the goal. You just happen to be able to take it to the stage, which, yeah, I think that that's really cool, man. So, you know, back to a little bit more of the training then. So you're a higher volume guy, are you hitting everything like once a week, twice a week? How does that work?
For the most part, I hit everything, I'd say twice a week. Depends on what I need to work on, actually. And it usually, so like I said, I'm pretty well balanced. So it usually comes down to hitting everything twice a week. I work out on average 6 days a week. There's been days when I've gone every day, and then there's been days when work's, you know, gotten so busy where I could only go 5 days a week. But it's at least five. But I average about 6 days a week, and I leave a few days between hitting the same muscle group. So, like for leg day, I'll have a quad dominant day, and then I'll throw in some hamstrings at the end.
Okay.
On my hamstring day, I'll throw in some quad stuff at the end. So little things like that.
Okay. Yeah. No, that sounds like I've talked to a lot of guys that train that way. In this past season now, what were the things? Now it sounds like, you know, I mean, and I looked at your pictures, you are a very balanced, you know, bodybuilder. What have been the things you've been attempting to work on to improve from last year and from the last season?
So there's certain things that are just genetically, like if you want an eight pack and you have a six pack, you can't create like another set of abs.
Right.
And for me, I've never had like great bicep peaks. And so I've good sized arms, but it doesn't really show in certain poses. So it's either working on the pose or just trying to get that area that much bigger to compensate for the lack of peak, you know? And
yeah.
So just little things like that. And just overall growth everywhere is what I was, you know, to enhance that 3D look. And I think I've definitely accomplished it.
Right on. What's your favorite body part to train?
it's hard to answer. Well, arms, I love the pump for the arms.
Okay.
But legs, I love doing legs. You know, the day before legs, I'll be thinking about what I'm going to be doing, and I almost get, you know, nervous.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you know, each time you try to push yourself further, you know, I mean, that's how you get better. And so with that mentality all the time, it's pretty nerve wracking. And so once I get going and I feel good, once I get through it, the sense of accomplishment is like no other body part, you know? Yeah. So I like that aspect of training legs. And back's one of my least favorite muscle groups, and it's probably my most dominant. And so I like the variety, you know, I enjoy training to stay healthy and being able to train everything without any, you know, I've been very blessed and fortunate to, you know, and that's a huge part of the game too, is to know your limitation, push yourself as hard as you can, and then know your limitations so that, because one little thing, you know, can set you back so much. So
leg training and now, I mean, you, like you were saying, your foundation, you've done a lot of strength stuff, having been a power lifter. I imagine that's carried over. Do you feel like the strength that you've developed through powerlifting played a role in your ability to handle heavy weights now or heavier?
No doubt. So with that strength and then with the bodybuilding mentality, it's been a good combination. And I used to squat, I still squat a lot, but I used to squat a lot more. And I've recently transitioned to hack squats, my big quad movement now.
Okay.
And that may have been one of the biggest improvements I've made since last year or the year before. is my quads, and I attribute a lot of that to the hack squat.
Really?
I think that's a great, to me right now, it's the best quad development exercise. So
it's funny you say that, because I had never gotten into hack squats a lot. For me, it's felt kind of, some, it depends on the machine. You know, some machines
me
are
too.
Real
I
awkward.
Always hated it.
Yeah, okay. Some of them are kind of awkward. I feel like sometimes my lower back gets in a weird position. But I've really gotten into it. I have one particular hack squat machine, and I go to a couple different gyms, and this one gym has a hack squat that feels real good. I can get into it. I'm not pushing like crazy heavy weight with it, but for me, it feels heavy, and I could feel that it's like, it's so specific just in the quad, you know, it's,
yeah.
It definitely is very different than say a leg press or than a squat would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And since I hated it, and since it was one of my, I couldn't do a lot of weight, that kind of challenged me to, I guess, get a little more acclimated with it. and as I did, the machines that were more uncomfortable started becoming
interesting,
more comfortable. My body just adapted to it. And,
So maybe
I've also
something.
Learned, I've also learned that, or believe at least, pretty firmly, you know, there's people like to, some people have amazing quad sweeps.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I've been asked by several people, like, how do you, not that I have like a good quad sweep or anything, but just, you know, I've been asked, how to help develop the quad sweep.
And you're being humble.
That's such a huge,
you're being humble. Well, I've seen your pictures. You've got good legs.
Well, but I've competed against the, you know, some of the best guys in the country, and I've been humbled. So
right on. I appreciate that.
Yeah. But I think that's such a huge, just like bicep peaks. It's such a genetic, I saw a great interview. I think it was the hypertrophy coach.
Okay.
Who explained it, in much, much better detail than I'm about to, but, essentially the leg plate, the feet placement, there's not much manipulation you can do that targets like something as specific as like the quad sweep. It's just, you know, when you generate, that kind of force on that specific muscle group, you're essentially going to develop, like my lats, go very low, which is, it's great for bodybuilding. You know, some guys have real high lats. There's nothing they can do. You know, there's exercises that train your lower lats, and okay, but essentially they're going to develop how you're.
Yeah, you know, you're not going to change that attachment. You know.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why it's kind of alleviating that from my mind, and just focusing on getting in the right comfortable position and just. Going as hard as I can.
I like that.
It's recruited the growth that I need. Yeah.
We have another podcast here. It's Just Bodybuilding with Ron Partlow and Dusty Henshaw. They were just talking about that on this week's episode, that, you know, you can't, you know, you can try to say train upper chest to an extent, but for the most part, if you're training chest, you're training chest, you know, and for a lot of us too, it's a matter of just growing more, period, you know? Yeah. Hey guys, why are you using sports nutrition that was designed for someone else? At TrueNutrition.com, they offer the world's largest selection of quality protein powders, and they let you design your own custom blend from a variety of powders, flavors, boosts, and packaging options, like the Team Skip blend, for instance. That's over 20 billion possible combinations to create a protein powder tailored to your diet, your goals, your tastes, and your budget. TrueNutrition.com also offers the ability to create delicious custom oatmeal blends, and they're third-party tested, proving that all their supplements are ensured to have the highest level of quality and value. Don't be a sucker and pay for fancy packaging and gimmicks. Discover the source that bodybuilders trust and stop using mass-produced nutrition that wasn't designed for you. TrueNutrition.com, and use our code ADVICES at checkout to let them know that you support the shows. So I got to ask you, you know, looking at your pictures, did you have some type of an operation on your abs?
Yes.
What was up with
a
that?
Few.
Okay.
Well, so the first one like I said, in my first show, I was 21. And right after that, I developed ulcerative colitis. Mm. And that's something, it's a genetic disposition, and it's typically developed in your early 20s. It's just a matter of, it's inevitable from birth, and it's just a matter of what triggers it.
Wow.
And I think the extreme diet to just eating whatever was what happened to have triggered it. And it got so bad, I battled with that for a couple of years.
Hmm.
And I ended up having to have my entire colon removed.
Oh, wow.
So the one scar I have that looks like a bullet hole on the right side of my abdomen was where I had a temporary ileostomy bag for 4 months.
Wow.
And so having my colon removed eliminates my potential for having colon cancer, because I don't have a colon anymore. So, and I also don't have ulcerative colitis anymore, but I have 8 feet less of intestine. So I do have to go to the bathroom a lot, and it does affect certain things that I'm conscious of what I eat.
Okay.
And so last year, so I went a good decade without any issues, and the small intestine digests and that's absorbs the nutrients. So I get all the benefit of that.
Okay.
And the colon, so it's hard for me to digest vegetables, even if they're steamed. And I love vegetables, especially steamed broccoli. And I was two weeks out from Nationals last year. I mean, I was ready to go. I was just riding it out. And my mom had made a couple heads of delicious steamed broccoli. And as most bodybuilders, we don't really count the calories or carbs in vegetables.
Right.
I didn't. So it was kind of like my cheat. And I ended up eating two whole heads of.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And I was fine up until the end of the day when after work.
Yeah. Yeah.
I came home and I felt a little bloated, and I wasn't having any bowel movements, and which is strange for me, you know, not I'm used to frequently having.
Right.
And after I did my cardio, I had my last meal of the day, and I knew something wasn't right. Mm. And it was just it very quickly getting distended, and I ended up rushing to the emergency room, and essentially I ended up missing Nationals, and then I got discharged like a week later, and then I came back, man. And I ended up having a perforated bowel, and
Then
they had to cut off part of my small intestine. And by the grace of God, I didn't have to have another ileostomy bag.
Yeah.
So I went from being show ready, and I was, I think I weighed about 233 when I went into the hospital, and
okay,
I came out probably 170 something.
Holy cow.
And,
wow.
It was incredible how fast I just, you know, was a totally different person.
Wow.
And, so that was, so I, this Ooh. Past year I was overcoming that and, bounced back, tremendously, by the grace of God.
Wow. Man. Yeah. To think that was just last year about this time then. So So you dropped down to 170. If you can remember, what were you weighing weight wise? You know, at that couple week out period when you were, but before that happened. I'm just trying to compare. I'm wondering where you were then compared to where you are now, basically.
So I was fluctuating between 225, 228 ish, okay. And. Lately, now I've been fluctuating, but 10 pounds heavier.
No kidding.
Huh. So at the So I was just hoping to get back to where I was, but I've exceeded that. So I'm very excited.
Okay. Wow.
I think just having that sense of unfinished business and that resentment for, you know, putting all the work of a prep in and having nothing to show for it.
Yeah.
Definitely lit a fire under me.
It's interesting because it says something about the kind of person you are. Because I feel like, you know, one person, you say, hey, this, you know, I put all this work in and then I didn't get to see it through. You know, I had this health issue and it fell apart. your response is that lit a fire out of me, versus another guy could easily say the opposite, that that just took all the steam out of me. I never lifted again. You know, I think that says a lot about the kind of person you are then. And I was already thinking that actually when you had the first surgeries done, you said it was after your first show. I could imagine that type of thing. That's enough that could derail somebody from competing ever again after something like that. Just blame it all on what was the bodybuilding, and I'll do something else with my life now, basically.
Yeah. No, I've never been one for excuses, and adversities in life have always, I think there's two types of people that they either, overcome obstacles like that and end up, doing great things, or they succumb to them and let them just tear them down, and they never get to see the potential that they could have had. And I refuse to let anything ever take me down. So,
well, I appreciate that. And I think too, like we were talking earlier about the people that do want it quick, they're not really at the point where they have that level of dedication you do too. I feel like if they maybe stick around longer, maybe they could fall in love with it to the point where they're going to want to stick with it long term. But yeah, especially in a situation like that, some of these newer guys, I could see them for sure. That's it. That's, they're done. But all that said, and it sounds like last year, everything sounded like it was going really well up until that point. What's been the hard part this year? What have you found? Because there's always something, no matter what I found, any prep, there's always something that turns out to be the difficulty, the thing I didn't expect. What's been difficult for you this time around?
Don't jinx me, because I'd have to really think about it.
Well, that's not a bad thing. And yeah, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, everything's just been going so smoothly. Okay. And I've had, no, I can't say. I mean, I've been extremely busy. I work 80 hours a week.
Wow.
This entire year, I've taken 5 days off of work. So I work, but I mean, obviously that's by choice.
Yeah.
And it's just, I attribute that to bodybuilding, training for a show. After you go through that, you feel like you can do anything. And I love what I do. So, staying busy for me, I feel like it's the busier I am, the better I prioritize things. So, when I do doubles, I literally, on my lunch breaks, I've cooked, I've done interval sprints. I've gone grocery shopping, and I've done that several times when you do what you got to do.
Yeah.
And I love having to, figure out ways to get things done.
Okay.
Because I guess back to being kind of getting a fire lit under you. I feed off of, when people say that they can't do something or that something can't be done, I like to do the things that people can't do or can't even process, like how you would do that.
Yeah.
And that just, it drives me, because I want to be able to do that, and whether I can or can't, I at least can, tell myself that I can. And, and usually I can. So, I mean, there's a will, there's a way. So,
it's funny because I know you're busy. We, guys, we had even a hard time lining this up, and I know you Matt had a bunch of stuff to do today, yet we're still doing this interview, which once again, man, I really do appreciate your time. But I fully expected you to say that the difficulty was going to be in prioritizing your, life and trying to get everything fit in. But once again, it's just a matter of how you look at things, I guess, whether that's an issue, it's a problem, or it's a challenge. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feed off those challenges. Yeah,
that's cool. That's cool. So, coming into the show, tell me a little bit about how you like to manipulate water. A lot of times, we talk to guys and they say, "Well, my coach does this. What's your plan for this?" I know that with the colon, that's going to be a little bit different.
No, not really.
No,
okay. That doesn't play much of a role. No.
Okay.
As I'm sure you've heard, there's so often do people. I mean, how many times have you heard competitors say, man, if I looked like I did the day after the show, I would have won.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that's because when the carbohydrate, I mean, you break that word up, hydrate, that you have to be hydrated for your, if you can carb load all day long, if you don't have any water in your system, you're just going to bloat. You're not going to, there's nothing to shuttle those carbs into your glycogen.
Yeah.
And fill you out. So I got a lot of this from Lane Norton years ago.
Okay.
When I started, and I've made the mistake several times just because it's what everybody did.
Sure.
You got to cut water out. I mean, that's what you have to do. That's what everybody does.
Yeah.
And then it just didn't make any sense. You know, once I started drinking, I stayed tight, and it was just, so, you know, taking that. So I basically just kind of, if you're not in shape, dropping water is not going to do anything for you. This last show I was at, there were guys that were just, you know, eating the candy bars ahead of time to try to get more vascular. And
yeah.
I mean, they weren't in shape to begin with, so they had no, you know,
right.
So it's not going to have that effect. But you put the work in, you come in conditioned. You shouldn't need to really manipulate much, if anything. I mean, maybe cut back a little bit on the water, but you got to keep drinking. When I changed to that, it was just a game changer.
Nice.
And I think just people are, because it's just such a common thing, people are too scared to, you know, there'll be guys backstage, we're getting ready to go up, and there's people walking around with, you know, a Gatorade or a Pedialyte and water,
yeah.
and some guys refuse to take a sip, and you hear that they haven't drank for the last 14, 16 hours, and it's like, that's why you're flat, that's why you're vascular.
So you just keep drinking, do you keep it just full level, no alteration to water whatsoever then?
I decrease a little bit,
okay.
A little bit.
Okay.
Slightly, and my diuretic is like 7,000 milligrams of vitamin C.
Okay.
And that's how I try to push a little bit of water out, but
right on.
Other than that, it's I just keep it real simple,
man. Yeah, well, that's
I
cool.
I feel better pumping up backstage. I get a pump, I get vascular.
I bet. So, you know, you've worked nonstop 5 days off this year, you've been prepping for over 20 weeks. For this show, what are the plans after this? Well, are you gonna give yourself a vacation or anything like that?
next year, I'll take a vacation with my girlfriend for her putting up with, because I get irritable, I get bad,
okay.
and man, she is a trooper and just doesn't complain, and she. Yeah, so I wore a nice little. I haven't taken a vacation, and you know, and I don't count these trips to. You think Miami? It's not a vacation. It's, you know,
yeah.
Business. So you don't get to really enjoy that aspect of it. So it's been a long time since I've taken a vacation, but I'm definitely due for one. So
right on, man.
We'll see. I don't know yet where, but
well, I hope you do. You hold yourself to that, because you do. You know, we all do. We all need that downtime, no matter what, man. And it was a cool opportunity to talk to you. I really appreciate it. Is it anything else, anything interesting that we should be looking at here that we haven't talked about?
Oh man, I'm one of the most boring guys you'll probably interview. But
we're all boring. We get up, we eat our chicken, you know, go on, do a cardio. That's it.
Yeah. No, I've always stayed under the radar pretty good, but I appreciate you reaching out, and it just kind of adds to the. I'm real excited about this year.
That's
and,
cool.
I feel good, and everything's in place, and I'm super excited, and I just can't wait to get down there. I fly out 2 weeks from today. So
awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Well, I'm sure everybody's going to be following along and watching, you know, if you post anything along the way as you get closer, I'm sure people will be following that, and we'll all be seeing you at the show, man. I really do appreciate your time. This has been really cool. And it was a refreshing conversation too, you know, because you are different, man. You're different because you said, there are so many people that are using their own, you know, a coach, and so many people that are just doing things because they think that's the way it's supposed to be done versus you're actually thinking it out. And you've been doing this for a long time. So, you know, the things that would be challenges to a person who's only done this once or twice, these are the things that you just expect now. So it's a good place to be. I think a lot of people could learn from where you're at. This it doesn't sound like you've had to suffer, is what it comes down to do this. This doesn't sound like suffering to me.
No, well, I try to. There's definitely been some suffering, but I try to avoid the unnecessary suffering.
Yeah, right on, so. Right on, right on. Yeah. All right, guys, for another episode of Think Big Bodybuilding Media, Advices Radio, we are on the road to nationals with heavyweight Matthew Schmidt. Thanks a lot, Matt. Much appreciated, brother.
Thank you. My pleasure.